Genesis chapter 5. Now, this is a genealogy, as it says in the first verse. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. And it will be through Seth. So, verse 1. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years. And he begot sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And after he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and begot sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful to you for your giving us a glimpse into the beginning. Lord, so much happened there that's not recorded, we know. It was a wondrous time, but also clearly a bad time. For we see the decay and the degradation and corruption of mankind. And yet, Lord, you're merciful and a kind God. And Lord, you brought a way through that we might be still on the path to redemption. So I pray, Lord, we would see with respect and honor the work that you've done and continue to do in this world through even the natural ways of man, that you carry forth your will. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's not forget the core problem of mankind. Today, it's always others. Somebody else is the problem. Something else is the problem. Something outside of me is the problem. And there's no real foundation that is respected to tell people what the problem is. They don't respect the Bible. It's always other people. And it seems acceptable and clear and agreed upon by society that if people would do better toward us, we would be better. And so any kind of failure we have is because someone's not doing something they're supposed to do with us. And that was Cain's problem. Cain was completely externalized as to what his problem was. His problem was that he was a lover of himself, that his heart was wicked. And a wicked heart always blames outside of itself. Look at a few passages of Scripture. Matthew 15, verse 1. And when we talk about heart, of course, it has nothing to do with the blood pump. It's our soul, spirit. It's the inner being of us, the seat of our emotions and will, our desires. In verse 1, Matthew 15, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread?" Now that's a form of externalism, that you do something on the outside and you're clean. Not just symbolically, but it is a proof of your righteousness. But he answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me has been dedicated to the temple,' is released from honoring his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" So you see, their problem was they taught as doctrines things to be righteous in, what men commanded. And if they kept what they themselves had made up, they were righteous. And they were hypocrites, Jesus said, because you're only on the outside. Verse 10, then he called the multitude and said to them, "Hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" I'm not sure why they said that. I don't think Jesus cared if the Pharisees were offended or not. But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." And Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes in the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." That is a whole doctrine and a whole religion, a religious practice based upon do things on the outside and that's enough. You go to church, do communion or mass in the Catholic Church, or do some good deeds, or do some rituals, washings and things. But it's just nothing. Lent. What's your favorite Lent verse in the Bible? And yet, Catholics have made up Lent. Do away with something. To do what? To show how devout you are. I'll do without Mountain Dew. I'm not going that way. But if I did without Mountain Dew according to Lent for a week or two or whatever, well, I'd be more righteous. No, what I would be was without Mountain Dew. That's it. And probably worse, because I would be deceived that made some difference. And so the Pharisees had a big, elaborate system of that. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs 4, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So when the heart is deceptive, it masks itself as the problem. And you don't see yourself as you are. And the main problem is unbelief. And unbelief is what we see when people look at Genesis. They don't believe it. Unbelief is what the gospel points out as our core problem. We're wicked in our heart. And Hebrews 3 commands us to beware of an evil heart of unbelief. But those famous verses in John 3 talk all about, unbelief. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not condemned, and he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Unbelief. Verse 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Unbelief. So when a person in the 21st century now looks back at Genesis and sees what is taught there about the origins of man, how sin came about, how we fell, what our condition is as humans today, why we die, how God created, and doesn't believe it, that's unbelief. And you see what, those who do not believe, this is a basic, it's not, you can't believe in Jesus and just throw out whole, Genesis. So, if you believe this today, you're really guilty of a terrible religious crime. Because today's evolution and science, that's a religion. They don't have any proof of that. Except what they manufacture. Catholics are always finding pictures of Mary crying. Paintings crying. Or a body of water near a shrine somewhere, Catholic shrine, will heal people. They're always, finding this out. And when my cousin and I were looking for leprechauns, we saw some, or thought we did. We heard them. We heard them moving. My cousin said, I think I heard one over there in the leaves. I said, I thought I did too. And we never laid our eyes on one, but we knew they were there. The way we knew they were there is because we went in with that. And this is the way much false religion is done. Today, there's a practice, it's a big word, it's called intersectionality. And much of society is governed by this. And that is there's a group of beliefs that are core in social justice types of ways. Homosexuals, racism, things like that. Gender equality is one of those now. Climate change. And this group of beliefs, if any one of those things you depart from, and intersectionality is they all intersect. If you depart from any one of those things, you are bad to the core. And you should be burned at the stake. It's heretical. And you can't, we've had some, recent things on college campuses where some speaker will get there and they won't listen to the speaker. They never read his book, don't know what he's talking about. But they'll protest because someone told them that this speaker at one time said this in some book way back 20 years ago. And so they're not going to listen because they can't expose themselves to anything outside the doctrine that intersectionality forms. So if you're wrong in any of that, you can't talk about it. You can't listen to what the person says. You just protest. And that's why many people are afraid if these people in college today have to grow up and do anything hard, we're all sunk. Because they can't stand a cross word of any kind or any disagreement or any departure from their doctrine. They wouldn't call it religion, but it's what it is. And to say that man is made in the image of God, man is created, that's anathema. Look what it says in verse 5, or verse 1 of chapter 5. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Well, take out that header. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. And let's just take the next sentence. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Well, what part of that is believed by modern society, modern science, modern academia? Zero. No, God did not make man. God did not make man in the image of God, and so we don't believe that. It's complete unbelief. But it says here that God has made us in the image of God. Now, what does that mean? That man is made in the image of God, not puppies, not deer. God's creation, animals and humans, is amazing. But, there was a big thing going along, probably still is, but it seemed like it was more so several years ago, that, dolphins were smarter than humans. That they had more sense than we do. And I remember Rush Limbaugh saying, why aren't dolphins making hospitals, building hospitals to help sick people if they're smarter? But the thought is that they're smarter. I have no doubt. I mean, I know we've had cats. Some are smart. Some are... Dogs are that way. You see some smart dogs. You see some that not too smart. It's the great creation of God. He's made creatures that are so amazing. But when God says he makes man in his image, he's speaking of what we classically call God's communicable attributes. God's incommunicable attributes are like omnipresence, omnipotence, his infinite nature, his self-existence, that God's existence comes from him. Those attributes are not communicated to man. They're not shared by men. But God's moral attributes, love, goodness, kindness, things like that, we do share. So we are able to love. It's not that we love like God does, whose love is infinite, but that we love in a way that is not dissimilar to God, and it intersects in a way, at times, with God's love. It's consistent with that. It's just not as whole and perfect as God's is. It's like holiness. You can't be as holy as God is in the world, but we can live holy lives. That's a communicable attribute. We're able to do that. We can't be as wise as God, but we can have wisdom. We won't be as wise, but we will still be wise. So man in the image of God... is that we have these communicable attributes of God. We are like God. We're in the image of God. And that is what is mentioned here. And the fact that we're in the image of God makes a difference in how we treat each other and how we live our lives. Romans 8:29, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. You see, that is the perfection, to be like Jesus one day, to be perfectly conformed to the image of his Son, morally. And James 3:9, with it, our tongue, we bless our God and our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. So there's a respect regarding, say, people who have unborn babies. They're in the image of God. And yet we chop them up like they're just nothing. Trash. Because the society has lost that whole concept of the uniqueness of man in the image of God. So we're told that he made man in the image of God. And two things are prominent as we go through this genealogy. You see that in verse 4, he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. You see that throughout. He begot sons and daughters. And also verse 5, so all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So in this genealogy, you've got birth and death. God said we would die if we ate of the tree, and that's clearly manifest here. And that we were to be fruitful and multiply, and that also is manifest here. That they were having sons and daughters and multiplying. And so God is carrying out both what he said. He told them to multiply, and that happens. And he told them they would die, and they did. It also says something that, obviously is also not believed today. Verse 2, he created them male and female. That is another thing that violates that box of intersectionality that we've got in there now. We put in there that there's no male and female. There's no biological gender. There's only that gender which you identify with. You could take that doctrine in, like at 8 o'clock in the morning, at that belief, and beat on it all day long, and it still wouldn't be enough. And yet, at the end of the day of beating on it, people would still be just as deceived about it. In Sweden, currently, there is a 100% yearly increase in the number of children who want to change sexes. 100% means if there's 100 this year, there's 200 next year, there's 400 the year after that, there's 800, so it's doubling every year. And the problem is not that you can't figure this out. It's not hard to figure out whether you're a male or a female. It's that there is a lack of a standard adherence to what God does. And there's bad parenting. What would solve a lot of this stuff? Mommy, I feel like a girl. I feel like I want to be a girl. No, Johnny, you're not going to be a girl because God made you a boy. And you're going to have to learn how to be a boy. Because one day, come along, and you're going to be a full man, and you're going to look back at me and say, Mommy, thank you so much for not making me into Daisy back in when I was 3. But good parents would stop that. Bad parenting says, well, if you really feel that way. So genealogies here and the start of creation, this is what God has done. Now, these are very selective genealogies. And you see that because Adam had Seth. But he also had other sons and daughters. Don't know how many. Don't know the names. It's selective. We're striking a path through to Noah. We're running through the path of redemption. So what we see here is very, very, very abbreviated and selective. And you see it throughout. It's one son from one father, a son, and that son becomes a father and has a son, and that son becomes a father and has a son, all the way to Noah. Because that's the line here we're heading toward. Obviously, the world was being populated extremely well, because note the extended years here. Some of these people were not even having children until what we would call retirement age. When are you going to have your first child? Well, I was thinking around 65. Seemed a little old. Well, my brother was 185 when he had his first. You see that through here. So the years of life were near 1,000 years. And they may well have been over 1,000 years. Methuselah, 969 years. We say he's the oldest recorded. But not... when we don't know how many others who were not recorded lived. So, but you see kind of the lifespan. Now today, some look at this and they see it from today's perspective. Do you know anyone today who is over 900 years old? No. So what's the answer? Well, they must have counted years different back then. It must have been like a year was a month. And every month was like a year. So 12 months was 12 years. And you know, you put 12 into those things and you got more of a reasonable lifespan. Well, who says that? Well, they do. Why do they say it? Because people aren't living 900 and something years today. The explanation for that, the big change when the years started dropping off, was after the flood, which also the world doesn't believe in. It's hard to find something in Genesis, first part of Genesis, that the world believes in. They don't believe that people live that long. They don't believe they were created. They don't believe they were created male and female. They don't believe the thing about Eve would, you know, be under Adam. And they don't believe any of that stuff. And so they don't believe here that this happened this way. Because it's just all denial. The flood, after the flood, the years of men went way down. It's a guess that whatever the canopy over the earth was in that day protected men, made for a more healthy environment. And when that was removed, which it was removed when the flood came, we'll talk about that, Lord willing, when we get to that flood. When that was removed, whatever came through the sky after that was more harmful to man, and men aged more, and so we got down to 70. And, you know, if you live 100 now, you're really old. And back then, there were some who were 100 and still pitching woo to get wed and have a child in 80 years or so. So the genealogy works toward Noah. In verse 3, we see that in each succeeding generation, the image of God is passed on. Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness. You see, that is the likeness of God in Adam. That is passed on. So we are producing after our kind. In the image of God. There is the mention of Enoch there. These others are pretty much, they lived this long, they had a child at this age and they died, having lived this much longer. Enoch is mentioned as verse 21, the son of Jared, And he lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, he walked with God 300 years. And that just not said of anybody else. And he walked with God 300 years and begot sons and daughters. Well, he might have had in 300 years 200 more kids. If you got really a woman that can turn them out, 300 more. And, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of children. And so, but he walked with God and was not. It means he was walking with God and suddenly he wasn't around. And the explanation is that God took him. Enoch, a righteous man in a day when very few were. And he stood out for that, and God took him early, way early in that day. Poor Enoch, he only lived 365 years. You know, roughly a third, more than a third of the longest lifespans we see recorded here. Methuselah then lived the longest, so from the shortest to the longest. And Methuselah, I didn't calculate it all up exactly, but if we do some math, it probably end up that Methuselah lives right up to the time of the flood starting. You know, based on what you see about Noah, and you know, Noah was born from Lamech, who was Methuselah's son, and so we get to Noah, and Lamech has this prophecy: "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." So Lamech would have died around probably a few years before Methuselah, and he begot Noah and lived 595 years. You see, so some of the ages there, as they get closer to the flood, are ramping down. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I don't think he did it all in one year, but brings us up to date with Noah. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and that's going to set up for our next chapter. Now, all of this is telling us how the world is filling up. And in the next chapter, we won't get into that tonight, really, but just to say that by the time we get to the days of Noah, things are very, 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 very wicked. Constantly. And Enoch's walking with God is not to be found. And there's really Noah. And the Lord will then do something very drastic to the world, which the world doesn't believe happened. One step of Genesis, that a response to it is that we believe. We believe what God tells us. We believe what he says. And these poor kids today go into the public schools or private schools as well. They go into these places and they're set down and they're indoctrinated in unbelief, because they're told that all these things here never happened. And all these things that did happen, they say happened, never happened. That cavemen and all that stuff, and coming up from barely being able to walk and all bent over, and they all stood up right, and this just never happened. Do you think God made Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve were like that? Bent over and not able to talk, and just grunted each other, and he'd grab her by the hair and drag her to his cave? It's all completely made up. They had to dodge dinosaurs all over the place because the dinosaurs had been here for 65 million years before man showed up. And, well, we mean, he big dinosaur. We be careful, Eve. I mean, it's just all foolishness. And yet our children are taught this. Unless they have good parents, put in a church that teaches the truth, they're going to be indoctrinated into unbelief. And it's a sad thing. Any comments you have?